And on that dawn, just when the day was breaking, I saw your face everywhere.
And you can see what a radio show looks like on TV, Facebook Live with Michael Patrick Shields. Radio stations across the state of Michigan, worldwide, MIBigShow.com. At sunrise or anytime you want via the podcasting that takes place, too, after these interviews roll on through your radio. That's at MIBigShow.com. Spreaker has an app where you can just push one button and listen to us anytime you like. MPS with you. And be careful when you're pushing that button, though. There's a bill right now in the Michigan legislature that would make using your phone while driving, that means holding your device, a no-no. More than a no-no. You wouldn't be able to use it. You'd have to do hands-free only. And right now, you know you can't text. But it's always a little specific, because does that mean that you can go on your phone and, you know, let's say you're punching in your directional device where you want to get to where you're going. You're using your GPS or your Google Maps or whatever. Is that texting? No. I don't know. They're trying to get it all sorted out. And just please be careful and use common sense, is what AT&T would remind you. On our AT&T line right this very moment, our radio stage, Mark Mix is back, the president of the National Right to Work Committee. Thank you for rejoining us.
Michael, it's good to be on with you. It's an interesting time in Michigan for sure. And why is it that I always feel so calm when I hear your lead-in music and your voice? I mean, I've got, you know, there's lots of things going wrong, but you calm us all down. So thanks for that.
Wow, that is a giant compliment in a media world where people are throwing gas on fires left and right all the time. And, you know, I worked for a guy called J.P. McCarthy who had a pretty smooth style. And I like to think that in the morning people don't necessarily want to hear any of that bitter rancor that goes on the rest of the day. So I'll take that as a big compliment. And the truth is in the middle around here, and medias tot virtus. At least that's what we endeavor to do.
Yeah, indeed. Well, it was last week, as you know, Michael, the governor signed the repeal of Michigan's right to work law. And so individual workers in Michigan are going to be confronted with some questions and some decisions they make about whether or not they want to continue to fund unions. And while the law won't, the repeal won't go into effect until the legislature adjourns, and then a 90-day window after that, it looks like it will happen sometime in early 2024. We think that workers need to be informed about their rights in the workplace, notwithstanding the fact that they will be forced to pay union dues or fees in order to keep their job in Michigan when the repeal goes into effect. That's something that will have changed over the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's like a tax all of a sudden on the worker, like probably, what, around $600 to $1,000? Is that every year?
Yeah, it is, Michael. And we based on research that we do, and we get calls from workers across the country, and we make sure one of the questions we ask is how much they pay in union dues. And it's between $800 and $1,200 a year. And that's the first thing that will happen in workplaces where there's a so-called union security clause in the contract. They will see a payroll deduction if they've authorized payroll deduction. Maybe they don't remember that they did that, but they will see a deduction from their paycheck. And if they don't pay, then they will lose their job in Michigan after right to work is repealed.
Wow. I'd like to have that $1,000 a year put toward retirement instead of union dues, but that's another matter altogether, I guess. And you know what? I was curious. The last time we spoke, I was speculating. What was the bill signing going to be like, or the signature from the governor? Because sometimes that's a ceremonial thing, and there are people who stand behind her, right, and a camera, and they make a big deal of it. This announcement, this signing took place on a Friday and went out in the late news dump. Does that surprise you?
Well, it does a little bit, Michael, but, you know, being a media professional that you know that Friday news dump is the place where you put things when you don't want people to notice as they head off to their weekend activities. So I was kind of surprised about that, too. We had checked the docket at the Capitol, and the AFL-CIO had reserved, space to basically have events, and really none of that stuff transpired. And despite Whitmer's rhetoric about this, it was kind of surprising to us that she did it in the at the close of the week, at the beginning of a media dump cycle. So that was surprising.
Do you think that the governor didn't want to be seated at a table with the union bosses behind her and puppet strings attached?
Well, I don't know about that, Michael, but what I do know is that the opposition to repeal of right to work was growing, not only, from the business community and others that think it's an important part of the economic development toolbox for Michigan, and it has been for the last 10 years, but also individuals. I think one of the reasons why they sped up the repeal was that opposition was growing. And when you think about the Chamber of Commerce in Detroit and the State Chamber and the business leaders for Michigan, I think the pressure was building on her. And I think they want to draw as little attention to this as they possibly can now that, you know, companies looking to relocate, expand, and invest in Michigan like they've done over the last 10 years are going to say, well, wait a minute, maybe we need to rethink this. So the bigger the hoopla, I think the more attention it gets. And so in this case, you know, she decided to do it on a Friday afternoon as everyone was leaving for whatever their weekend activities were.
Is it a foregone conclusion, or is there a way that choice could be restored to the workers in Michigan?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously one of the things they did in the legislature is they attached an appropriation to the bill, so that blocks a referendum. Governor Whitmer in 2019 said that she would veto any bill that came to her with that tactic used to design to stop a referendum, but in this case, she made an exception. Obviously, there are, elections have consequences, Michael, and people need to be involved and engaged. And one of the most important parts of all of this from a civic standpoint is to understand what your legislator did when it came to the issue of individual freedom and basically union force and coercion. So we need to understand that. It's possible to have a ballot initiative on this, and that would probably take place maybe in 2024. But yeah, there's alternatives. But right now, for workers in Michigan, they need to know what their rights are when all of a sudden someone confronts them and says, hey, you got to pay us in order to work. And that's why we put out a legal notice at our Right to Work Foundation that employees can access, and they can talk to a lawyer for free about what their rights will be when the Right to Work law is repealed. And we've already started getting calls, Michael. The phone started ringing last week, and our paralegals announced that there's been several calls from Michigan already about what's going to happen next.
How do they do that? Anyone listening right now?
Yeah, they can find us on the internet at nrtw.org. We've got a special section there based for Michigan workers based on with a special legal notice, and they can find us on the internet. They can call an 800 number, 800-336-3600, and they can talk to a lawyer about what their rights are and what the world will look like for them as it relates to the forced payment of union dues or fees.
Thanks for being in the mix, Mark Mix, president of National Right to Work. If you need that phone number again, you can get it on our podcast at mibigshow.com.